Thank you, everyone. Tonight's shiur, we're starting Chumash Shemot. Today's shiur is Le'ilu Nishmat Geula Ben Asher. And to the refuah shlema of all the sick, everyone that's sick, Hashem yitan them refuah shlema, refuat hanefesh, refuat haguf. So we're starting Sefer Shemot. The first pasuk says in Sefer Shemot, Ve'ele Shemot b'nei Yisrael habba'im Mitzrayma. These are the names of the Jews that came, the sons of Israel, of Yaakov Avinu, habba'im Mitzrayma, who came Mitzrayma. I'm first just reading the Chumash. These are the names of the Jews that came to Israel, and they came to Egypt, and it says Mitzrayma. It doesn't say to Mitzrayim. Sometimes the Torah says le-Mitzrayim. Mitzrayma means to Egypt, but it adds a hey. Et Yaakov, Ishu Betobau, they came with Yaakov, each man and his house they came, each man with his wife and children. So the Torah goes through the 12 tribes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naftali, Gad, Asher. Vayhi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov, shiv'aim nefesh. And the number of the souls that were the progeny of Yaakov Avinu, they were 70. Ve'yosef haya b'mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Egypt. Okay, now, anyone that's been coming to Bet Knesset to listen to the Parashat HaShavua knows that Yosef was in Egypt. Past four Parshiot. That's the whole story. Yosef was in Egypt. The Torah repeats itself, tells you that Yosef was in Egypt. The Ben Ish Chai, I gave some pages here of the Ben Ish Chai, he deals with a lot of different nuances in the Pasuk. And let's read the Ben Ish Chai inside. Everyone have the page? Ben Ish Chai. ויהי כל נפש יוצא ירח יעקב שבעים נפש ויוסף היה במצרים. הדקדוק ידוע. Okay, this nuance is well known. דלמאי יצטריך לומר ויוסף היה במצרים. What is the purpose of saying that Yosef was in Egypt? Don't we know that Yosef was in Egypt? שזה ידוע מכל פרשיות שקדמו. All the parshiot that came before this, we know that that's true. ועוד, הבי לי למאמר, זה אחר אומרו גד ואשר. See, look at the Torah. The way the Torah wrote that Yosef was in Egypt, he's one of the 12 tribes, isn't he? Yosef, he's one of the children of Yaakov Avinu. It should have said, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Zerah, Dalman, Levi, Gad, Ve'asher, Ve'yosef haya b'mitzayim. It should have mentioned Yosef right there. It says, after Gad, Ve'asher, and the number of all them was 70, and Yosef was in Egypt. Yosef is one of the tribes. Talk about Yosef right after the other 11 tribes. That's the Ben Ish Chai's question. So he has two questions so far. Number one, why does it say that Yosef was in Egypt? And number two, it should be after Gad ve'asher.
So he asked the same question Rashi asks.
He is asking the same question. So now he says, "Venir eli, venun lamed, venir eli b'siyat l'ishmaya." Now the Ben Ish Chai, whenever he says any chidush, any dvar Torah, he always says, always, b'siyat l'ishmaya. It appears to me with the help of heaven. He always acknowledges HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness to him. It's not me. I didn't think of it by myself. Hashem gave me the wisdom to figure it out. He throws all of his chidushim, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should read the introduction to the Ben Ish Chai, the Halachot. Halachot HaBen Ish Chai. Very long introduction, how everything that I'm writing here, it's all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not getting any benefit out of it. And if I have any bad thought, any thought of getting glory out of this, I'm mevatel. Just for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a whole brachot, a Torah in there. It's something to see. You really see the humility and the kedusha, the holiness of the Ben Ish Chai. So Ben Ish Chai says, "Venir ele b'siyat d'ishmaya." It appears to me that with the help of heaven, this is amazing over here. Ba ha-katuv lehodia yitron shevach Yosef ha-tzadik alav ha-shalom al ehav. What the Torah really is telling you here, it's separating Yosef from his brothers. The brothers, they were all tzadikim. The shvatim were shifteya. They were the tribes of Hashem. Yosef is something special. He's even more special than the shvatim. And the Torah separates them, as we saw in the pasuk. In what way? He was even greater than his brothers. Sheshamar berito b'makom tum'ah. He guarded his brit. He guarded his kedusha. He was not promiscuous. He was kadosh. Well, we know Yosef was seduced. She tried to seduce him, the wife of Potiphar. And he was all by himself. And he kept the brit. The brit milah is the symbol of being a Jew. That's the symbol of being a Jew. He kept the brit kosher. Where did he keep himself a tzaddik? That's why we call him Yosef a tzaddik. He's the shevet with Am Yosef Tzadi. He was such a big tzadi, he was able to guard himself in Egypt. Sheshamar beito b'makom tum'ah. He guarded his breed even in a place of impurity. Shel Mitzrayim shayita ayirvata ares. We know Mitzrayim in those days was like Sedom ba'amora. It's really, it was a very promiscuous, very immoral place. The Torah calls it Ervata Aretz, the nakedness of the land. That was, if you look at the, you know, they have the murals in Egypt. You know, they have the ones that they put for in the children's history books. They don't show them everything in the children's history books. If you look at more archaeology books, they'll show you the pictures that Egyptians used to make. They were all very lewd, very lewd society. Uklipata mazeket be'inyan haznut me'od. Now, the klipa is a Kabbalistic term for tum'ah. Klipa means shell. The mikubalim always use the term klipa. There's klipa and kedusha. Egypt's klipa, the tum'ah of Egypt, is specifically in tum'ah, in promiscuity, in znut, in the prostitution. Da'af al gav she'ehav, gam ken yardu limitz. Now, the brothers of Yosef were also tzaddikim. They came to Egypt. They were also pure. They were tzaddikim. Yardu limitzayim ve'lo hate'u. They also did not sin. So, in what way is Yosef greater than the brothers? They didn't sin. Yaakov did not sin. And Yosef didn't sin.
He was alone.
He was alone. That's one thing that he was alone. So the Ben Ish Chai says, we're going to see, there are four ways Yosef was extremely different than his brothers. And he had a much more difficult test. Sha'af agav, de'ah she'ahav, gam kem yardu l'mitzrayim, ilo hatte'u, yesh efresh gado benem, beno lebenam. There's a big difference between them. Be'eluhen, these are the differences. Hayahad, number one, shehem lo ba'u ladur b'mitzrayim ha'ikarit. You know, you even see from last week's parasha, Yosef lives in Egypt, and the brothers live where? No, when they once they came to Egypt. It doesn't call it Mitzrayim, it calls it Goshen. They lived in Goshen. It's not called Mitzrayim. Yosef had to live in Mitzrayim. He was in the heart of Egypt, all the Egyptians. They lived in Goshen. And he says, they lived in Eretz Goshen, shena'asa ba kedusha, mahmat shekatva paro al shem sara, imenu aleha shalom, biktubata. Now the Midrash has something interesting. Why did the Jews go to Goshen? What was special about Goshen that the Jews went there? So the Midrash says that, you know, Paro stole Sarah. And he married her. He wanted to marry her. And then God sent him plagues, and he ends up releasing her. So why you didn't tell me it's your wife? I wouldn't have taken her. Ki'ilu, he's a tzaddik. But when he took her, he loved her so much, he said, I'm going to give her the land of Goshen. And it was written down that Goshen belongs to Sarah. In the law book of Egypt. That's why when the Jews came, they went directly into Goshen. Now, the Jews did not live in Mitzrayim. They lived in Goshen.
Where is Goshen exactly?
It's north, I think it's north, it's upper Egypt.
Oh,
Alexandria.
South. Upper Egypt is south.
I think it's north of, you know, the, I think, I don't know which city, it was like Memphis, I think that's where the pharaohs were. They lived in Goshen. Now, Goshen had Kedusha. It's also in Egypt. It's not the land of Israel, but it had Kedusha. Why was there Kedusha? Because Paro wrote in the Ketubah, when he wrote this document for Sarah, he gave her Goshen. Automatically, V'techef umiyad shartab ba'kedusha. As soon as he gave it to Sarah, it became like Jewish territory, like Borough Park. You know? it's Jewish, it's a Jewish place. V'techef umiyad shartab ba'kedusha, da'inu. And how does this work exactly? The Ben Ish Chai speaks Kabbalistically here. He says, "Da'inu ki kol klipa, every tum'ah, anything that exists in the world. You have places that are very far from purity, very far from kedusha, but they still exist. How can Las Vegas be around? It's because there's some kedusha over there. There's always kedusha hidden in the worst of places. Sedom ba'amora also had kedusha. All these places are kedusha."
Why did Pharaoh give a piece of land to Sarah?
I think maybe to make her feel good.
You talking about Abimelech?
No, Paro. He gave her Goshen. He thought he was going to marry her. You know,
Sarah,
Sarah Imenu, the wife of Avraham Avinu.
They were in the same generation.
They were, he was like 75. something like that. 75. It was after he came to Israel. There was a famine, and then he went to Egypt. So he was like 75. She was 65.
And Pharaoh took
Sarah, but did not. The Torah says that he didn't touch her, but he wanted to. Oh. But before he, you know, took her into his palace, he gave her Goshen.
So Abimelech took her one time, and then later on.
Yeah, Abimelech was later on. Abimelech was when he went back. She was very old at the time. She was 90. She was like 89 or something at the time. And the Ramban says it shows you what a miracle it was. 65. Okay, fine. She can be a beautiful lady. That's like, it's still a 90-year-old lady that all the kings will, you know, desire her. That was something very, very different. So now, Goshen had some kiddushah. So the Ben Ishchai says why. The Hainu, does everyone have the place? The Hainu, ki kol klifa, mukhrach sheyesh betocha kiddushah. Every klifa, every place of tumah has to have some type of kiddushah. Lechiyut shela, how does it exist? It's because it has some kiddushah. Right now we're in Los Angeles. There's so much Torah going on here. How many people came to Shir Wednesday night making a bracha on the kebab, mezonot?
They're not talking about Las Vegas. They talk about it.
But there's a lot of tumah here also. You know, LA spreads the tumah to the whole world. From Hollywood. This is like the source of the tumah. Right? No?
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of Torah going on here also. Many Jews live here. So, it's the kedusha that we have that sustains the society that we live in. Now, when he gave her Goshen, this is interesting. It says, "Me'az nichtava Goshen al shem Sara." As soon as Goshen was written to Sara, "Az ne'etak or kedusha shaya b'Mitzrayim." Okay, now Egypt is called Mitzrayim. That's a real place of tumah, but it also has some kedusha. When Paro wrote Goshen, when he wrote that in her ketubah, the kedusha of Mitzrayim went to Goshen. Goshen was now. It was like, you know, it became a Makom Torah. That's why Yaakov sent Yehuda. He says he sent them Goshna. They said they knew they were going to Goshen. That's going to be the Jewish area. V'shachan be'eretz Goshen, v'lachen Goshen nikret Mitzrayma. You see, remember we mentioned the beginning of the Torah. It says, v'eretz shmot Yisrael ha'ba'im Mitzrayma. Didn't say that they came to Egypt. They came Mitzrayma, to the place called Mitzrayma. It adds a hey at the end. Only Goshen is called Mitzrayma. Regular Egypt, the more southern area where the Egyptians live, is called Mitzrayim. What's the difference? He says it's betosefet hay. Has an extra hay. She'ole Mitzrayima kemispar shechina. The gematria, the numerical value of Mitzrayima equals shechina, which means the divine presence. Al shem oto or hakdusha shebetoch klipat Mitzrayim. It's because of that kedusha that was in Mitzrayim, hamityahes la shechina. Okay, this is, can't say I understand fully what he's saying here. He's speaking in Kabbalistic terms over here, but the Shekhinah, there's Galut Shekhinah, that there's God's presence which is in Galut, which is in exile. That Kedusha, that Shekhinah went to Goshen. Masha'in, so that's, now the brothers live in a place there's Kedusha there. Where does Yosef live? Yosef lives in Mitzrayim. Masha'in ken Yosef, Hatzadik alav shalom, shachan b'Mitzrayim b'makom atumah ha'ikarit. He was stuck in Egypt. He had a much bigger test than his brothers. Ve'lo be'eretz Goshen v'im kol ze lo hata. And even so, he was really by himself in a place that there was no kedusha whatsoever. He still didn't sin. That's the first way that Yosef is different than the brothers. The brothers lived in Goshen. They lived in Bora Park. It's not so difficult to be religious in Bora Park, right? But you live in. I don't know, someone think of a good example.
Hollywood.
It's more difficult, and you're by yourself. It's difficult to remain a religious Jew. Okay, that's number one. The habit. The second way that he's different. Now, they came with Yaakov, it says. They came to Goshen, that's the first difference. Et Yaakov, they also came with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, that's a great protection you have. Not to fall into the impurity of Egypt. He went with them. Now, ukedushato hichniya kilipat aznut miikara. Now, Yaakov Avinu wasn't just a tzaddik, but this was something that he excelled in. Yaakov Avinu was like Yosef, to an even greater degree. How old was Yaakov Avinu when he got married?
84.
He was 84 years old. He was 84 years old. It says, Ken ben paid dalit shana velo ra'a keri. He never saw any type of emission that came from him until he was pure. He was a tzaddik from 84 years old. Never had anything. Never saw any type of impurity. So Yaakov Avinu exemplified being pure. Ve'od bitel klipat aznut enikret lari. Okay, this is, there's some type of klipa. This is, he's using a term from the Zohar. The klipa of znut is called lari. Okay? Not saying you shouldn't name your kids Larry, but it's called lari for some reason. Okay? Lari. Now, lari.
Le'arachel Yaakov.
Yeah, exactly.
What's called?
Lari, the klipa of znut, this shell, this impurity of znut, of promiscuity, is called lari. Okay? Now why? Al yedeh hiboro im le'a v'rachel. Now, Yaakov Avinu married two women. He married Le'a and Rachel. Ki bishloshtam yesh rashe tevot lari. Le'a, Rachel, Yaakov. Kemo shekatam ashtam za besot tizni al shemech. There's a pasuk in the Navi, it says that the Jews were promiscuous. It says, "Vatizni al shemech." Al shemech means on top of your name. The lemana min shemach. What are the letters above shin mem chaf? It's lamed resh yud. On top of the shin you have resh. On top of the mem you have lamed, and on top of the chaf you have yud. The letters above them. Okay, so they came with Yaakov Avinu.
One before.
Is resh.
Oh, so one.
Mem.
It's a code, yeah. All these things are. Yaakov Avinu, by marrying, he was 84 years old when he got married with Rachel and Leah, and he was such a tzaddik, he was able to put down, he made the place even more kadosh. When he entered Goshen, there was like no more Yetzarara there anymore, because Yaakov Avinu walked in. And the brothers came with Yaakov. So it's not such a big surprise that they were tzaddikim. They had the biggest tzaddik in the world who mastered this midah of being pure.
Yaakov married Leah at 84?
He was 84. Leah and Rachel was an old man. Imagine waiting to 84 years old to get married. Huh?
Oh, it's like also this generation. If you walk with a rabbi to a place, you're not going to sin. You know, you're walking with a rabbi, come on. You can do anything.
You can open one eye, close the other eye. Okay, let's see. ולכן, קדושתו הייתה מגינה ומועלת בנפס. So now, Yaakov Avinu, his kedusha, his holiness was so great, it protected his children. ומועלת בנפס, כמו קמיה ביותו עמהם. You know, there's something called a קמיה. A קמיה is like it's like a charm. But a קמיה, the true קמיות are with the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they help for certain things. Yaakov Avinu was like the קמיה of the Jewish people. He's such a tzaddik. For 17 years, he was with them. Okay, they have Yaakov Avinu with them. וזה הטעם, now listen to this, the Midrash says, when the wife of Potiphar was trying to seduce Yosef, what does Chazal say? How did Yosef abstain? It says, he saw Diukno shel Yaakov Avinu. He saw the image of Yaakov Avinu. He thought of his father, wow, okay, now, forget it. Yaakov Avinu. His Kiddushah was so great, it spread to his son in Egypt, far away from Egypt, and that gave him the strength to overcome the temptation. And he says, that's why Ba'ad Yikno. What's that?
Why did he so great, Yosef? Why did they call him so tzaddik? Hashem helped him get over it.
Well, because he had a yetzer, he still had to, he had his own bechira. But number one, he was in Egypt, he was all by himself, but his father's kedusha helped him. Ba'ad Yikno shel aviv lefanav, v'tzilato min achet. You have to realize, a Jew always has free will. He could have sinned. And the rabbis say he was actually very close to sinning.
He
was very, very close to sinning. Kemo shekatav Razal al pi midei Abir Yaakov.
She was beautiful.
Ach davar ze lo hayta ela sha achat. Now, the brothers, this is to answer your question, Dan. He said, well, his father, he saw his father. He saw his father's image. So says the Ben Ishchai, that was only for one moment. For that time, he was saved.
But Hashem?
But he didn't always have this protection.
But Hashem gave him that, knowing that was enough for him to stop.
Yeah, but he still had bechira. He still had his free will. It was that, you know.
Was the sin the fact that she was a married woman?
Is that she was a married woman? She wasn't, you know, she was a
because you
also from Canaan and marry her.
Because Yehudah had relations with a woman
from Canaan.
No, with like Tamar.
Oh, that's a different shiur. Okay,
but no one like makes a big deal about that.
Yeah. That's a different shiur.
Daughter,
what's that?
It's a different shiur. Her daughter.
But Tama was not married.
I'm sorry, what's that?
She was...
The daughter was
in
a daughter.
Well, number one, she... The
said the hijab was worse than that.
The daughter was worse?
Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim was the place that he would go to sin.
But you're right, she was a married woman. That was the most severe thing, was that she was married. Because you see, he ends up marrying her daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, now the brothers, they were also kedushim when they came to Egypt. Kedushat gufo shel Yaakov Avinu alav shalom, he came with them. Mamash. It wasn't just an image that they saw of their father. He was with them the whole time. He was always with them. That's the greatest kamea you can have. Okay, so that's the second difference, that they had Yaakov, he was without Yaakov. Now this is all in the Pasuk, you see? The Ben Ishchai is telling you that this Pasuk is trying to tell you the difference between the brothers. They're all tzaddikim, but Yosef is even greater. Mitzrayma is Goshen. Et Yaakov, they came with Yaakov. What's the next part of the Pasuk? Et Ish ubeto. What does that mean? Each man came with his wife. They came with their wife. They were all married. That's another reason why they were able to overcome temptation. He says here, they all came married. Right? So they didn't have
married?
They were all married when they came.
They came with their wives.
Ish ubeto.
When they went to settle, not the first time, but
when they came to Egypt.
When they went to Egypt.
No, when they came to get the food, they came by themselves, but they left their wives in Israel. But when they came to settle in Egypt, they came with their wives.
So what are they going to do? These wives behind? I don't understand. Am I missing something here?
No, he's just saying that there wasn't such a great Yetzer Hara for them because they came married. Yosef.
They had,
Yosef. First of all,
less temptation.
We have to also say, Yosef HaTzadik was 17 years old when he came to Egypt the first time. 17 years old. And he was very handsome. He was so handsome, it says all the girls used to come out of the house just to take a look at him. He was something very unique.
Steven, understand.
I don't know, where do you get that from? Yeah. In a masculine way. Yeah. Okay, anyways, let's see here. Mashaken Yosef. I am panoi velo isha, mimkozelo hadana. Yosef was all by himself and he still didn't sin. Okay, Be'et Reva. He wasn't married. And he was not married.
There were two things, right?
Yeah.
So far.
And he was.
Did they come the first time when he came for food? Did they come with the wives? No.
No, they didn't come.
And they didn't come with Yaakov either.
Versus he's alone.
Oh, you're asking a very cool question. But they came very briefly. And he jailed them. Where were they going to go already?
It was
a good one, huh? Okay. Okay, Be'et Reva.
Was in the middle of the city.
Oh, yeah, I'm business, yeah? Okay. Be'et Reva, now, the number four. Eino dome yachid, now we're on the last line of the first paragraph. Ve'et Reva, now, number four. Eino dome yachid letzibur. You can't compare an individual to a whole community that comes. The hu haya yachidi b'mitzrayim, he was all by himself. Achem ayu rabbim, ki b'shivim nefesh etzu mitzrayim. Look what it says. They came, the Torah says, they came 70, they were 70 people, they were the whole community. Right? Or a park. You go there, yeah, everyone's Jewish, yeah. You know? It's hard to find the shiksa over there. It says much easier for them not to sin because they were a whole community. But now, these are the children of Israel. They are also tzaddikim. They're just like their father Israel. Yaakov Avino, they were tzaddikim, the brothers. They had help. So as we mentioned, the first one was that they went to Mitzrayim. Okay, I'm just going to scan this. They were in Goshen. They weren't in Mitzrayim. And they had the Shekhinah. Shekhinah is Gematria Mitzrayim. And number two, they had Yaakov. Number three, they came with their wives. Number four, they came with 70. Okay, that's the pshat of the Ben Ish Chai to show you how great Yosef HaTzadik was. Now we turn to the second page. Switching topics over here a little bit. It's also on the parasha. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu chose an interesting profession. Most parents would probably be very angry if their children became shepherds. You call that a living? You call that a good Jewish living, being a shepherd? But we see the ancient tzaddikim, they all chose the profession of being a shepherd. That's what they wanted to. Avraham Avinu was a shepherd. Yaakov was a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu David was a shepherd. Moshe also was a shepherd. So let's read the next. This is from the Rabbeinu Bachye.
Is there a reason why they were all shepherds?
Yeah, so he's going to explain why they were shepherds. You see, he says, Moshe haya ro'eh. Okay? You have it? Achaz Moshe Rabbeinu ha'umanut hazeh kiminaga tzadikim. He chose this profession, which is the profession of the tzadikim arishonim. All the tzadikim, they all wanted to be a shepherd. What would you say? Why would you want to be a shepherd?
You have a long time to think.
Long time to think. Very good.
No, because also that's how they learn. If you care for animals, you're going to care even more so for human beings. So, to be a great leader, you need to
take care of your animals. That's right. The Midrash says that Hashem chose Moshe Rabbeinu because he had a sheep that was very tired and couldn't walk. Moshe Rabbeinu carried it like a baby. He babied this thing. And at that time, Hashem said, he showed him the fire in the burning bush. He said, now he's ready. He's ready to take care of Am Yisrael because you have to treat the Jewish people and your community. If you're in charge, you have to treat them like your sheep. You know? They have to take care of them, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. So look what he says here. He chose this profession, ki chen matzinu behevel atzadik. Who was the first tzaddik to be a shepherd? It was Hevel. And unfortunately, his end didn't end very well. He was killed. Hevel was the fourth person who ever lived. It was he had Cain and Hevel. Right? These are the children of Adam and Chava. He was a shepherd. Gam ba'avot ha'olam. Also Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Gam ba'shvatim. Interestingly, that I don't know where he knows that Yitzchak was a shepherd. The Torah just says that Yitzchak was a farmer, but I guess he must have been a shepherd as well. Gam ba'shvatim. You see that all the tribes, the 12 shvatim, were also shepherds. Now why? V'atam kedei shitrachek min ha'yishuv. The reason is because when you're a shepherd, you're far away from civilization. Shu alul etzel achet. Now when you're in a big city, there's more yetzer hara. So basically it keeps them away from the hustle and bustle. V'od kedei litbodet b'nevoah. Another reason was to meditate. What you were saying, it's to be able to think. They were nevi'im. When it's just you and nature, Yaakov Avinu spent nights just looking at the stars. You know, you spend years looking at the stars and talking to Hashem, you're going to have a nevuah also. Provided that you're tzaddik. U'mah she'amar achar ha'midbar. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he was ro'e tzon yitro achar ha'midbar. After the desert. He was shepherding the animals in the desert. Why in the desert? Limedcha katu she'ayah Moshe mitrachet misadot kedei shelo yira'e tzono basadeh shel achirim. Ve'avol lidei gezel. He was so worried that they might eat the grass, the produce of someone else, Gezel, he wanted to be very far from it, from everyone. He was very, very meticulous on Gezel. Lo peresh ha-katuv kama shanim amad Moshe b'Midyan. The Torah didn't say how many years he was in Midyan. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu when God called upon him? He was 80 years old. 80 years old, living a very quiet life. And then Hashem called him. The Chatam Sofer says it's going to be the same way with Mashiach. He says in every generation, there's someone who is a very big tzaddik and a tamid chacham, and someone that is worthy to be the leader of the Jewish people. And if the generation is worthy, God will give him the neshama of Mashiach, and say, okay, he's going to give him the nevuah. Okay, you have to redeem the Jewish people, go build the Beit HaMikdash. We haven't received that message yet, but each generation has someone that could be called upon. And he says, it's all like Yitziat Mitzrayim. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu was called upon, and he was 80 years old, he didn't realize he was going to be the Mashiach. He didn't realize he was going to take the Jews out of Egypt. He was living a quiet life away from Egypt. And Hashem said, no, you got to go back there. He was 80 years old. But he perfected himself. By this age, 80 years old, he was a tzaddik. He was a Navi. So v'darshu razal 40 shana yishav Moshe b'Mitzrayim. He was in Egypt for 40 years. He was 40 shana b'Midyan. He was 40 years in Midyan. And then 40 shana b'Midbar. And then he spent 40 years in the desert with the Jews when he took the Jews out of Egypt. And the rabbis say as well, Rabbi Akiva also spent 40 years. It says he was working for 40 years. He didn't even know Aleph Bet, Rabbi Akiva. 40 shana lamad. He learned for 40 years. Then he taught Torah for 40 years as well. Same thing applies to Hillel. Hillel also 40. They all lived to be 120. Gam Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. והדרך הפשט עניין הפרשה הזאת כי משה השיג שלושה עניינים ואלו הם. Now he's going to explain about the process of Nevuah, how Moshe Rabbeinu experienced the burning bush and what he experienced. He saw three things. It says Ha'esh, he saw fire. Ha'malach, he saw an angel. Va'shechinah, he also saw the divine presence. He felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Now it's interesting, this is the only time Moshe Rabbeinu, we see him seeing an angel, although an angel later in the parasha tries to kill him. That's a different shiur, because he didn't perform Brit Milah on his son. Usually God just talks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here, there's this whole introduction. He sees a fire, and he sees an angel, and then God talks to him. And then it says here, "Tehilat ha'esh hayta mitlakachat basna." He first saw the fire that was burning in the bush. Ve'en asne nisraf. And this burning, this thorn bush was not burned. He saw a fire, a physical fire. That's what he saw. When he saw that this thing was burning, he saw that it's fire. So first he saw fire. He thought it was a regular fire, normal fire. When he saw that the bush was not burning, it was not being consumed, then he said, he decided, let's take a closer look over here. Let me go see this great thing, this great vision. What did he want to see? It says he wants to see, is this tree different or is the fire different? Maybe this tree is a special type of tree. Had he known that this was a spiritual fire, he would not have gone close. As a matter of fact, the rabbis say, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says that he hid his face. He did not want to witness God. He was afraid to have a nevuah. And Hashem rewarded him. Hashem rewarded his humility. He felt, I'm not ra'ui. It says, eventually, he saw visions that no one else saw. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to see this thing? It says, "Ahar shara'a esh hazot nitchazek lisichlo b'riyat ha'malach." God gave him the nevuah in gradations. He first showed him a fire. Now he shows him an angel. "V'zeu she'amar v'yira malach Hashem ela b'labat esh mitoch hasneh." He says, the Torah is teaching us, "Mashmot ha'katuv ki labat esh ra'a tehillah v'chakach ha'malach mitoch ha'esh." After he saw that there was an angel, then he saw the Shekhinah. That's why it says, God saw that he came to look, and God said, "Vayikra elav Elokim." Now, why am I reading this to you? This is, everything in the Torah has a lesson. There's something to learn practically for all of us. He says God showed it to him very slowly. This is the beginning of Moshe's career in being a prophet. So Hashem wanted to teach him, lachanechom me'at me'at, to teach him very slowly. To take him from one step to another step, until his mind would be strong enough to handle the nevuah. He gives an interesting mashal. Let's say you're in a very dark house, right? A movie theater, okay? It's very dark. What happens when you walk outside? It's blinding. It's actually very blinding. He says if you're in a dark room for too long, you might actually lose your eyesight if it's so dark and all of a sudden you have very bright light. He says, "V'al ken tzarich shistakel ba'or me'at me'at." You have to see the light very slowly. And look at God and his wisdom. How does the sun rise in the morning? Rise very slowly. You almost don't even notice it at first. Imagine if all of a sudden it's midday. Okay, you get blind. God forbid. You ever think about that? There's chokhmah. There's a lot of chokhmah in everything. Now, the same thing applies to our sechel, to your mind. Everything has a physical counterpart and a spiritual counterpart. Everything's interconnected. And we also find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, he didn't just give the whole Torah at first. At first, he gave the seven mitzvot, Bnei Noach. And then he gave Brit Milah to Avraham Avinu. Then he gave Gid HaNasheh. And then, before the Jews came to Har Sinai, he gave them Kibud Avaim, Shabbat, and some Mishpatim. It was given in gradations. And then he gave them Aseret HaDibrot. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And then afterwards, he finished the Torah before they went into Israel. That's when the Torah was finished. God finished dictating the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu because the light's too great. You have to accustom yourself first. You should train yourself very slowly. And that's the way, look at the Torah, it says, Ko'or shachar, nede'an yedefad ledat Hashem, kashachar nachon mutsa'o. Look what the Navi Hosea said. When you want to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to learn to know God, it's like the morning. It should be kashachar nachon mutsa'o. You have to find God like the morning. That's the way you have to go about in searching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says you can't try to grasp Hashem in one shot. Shenelech techila ech nirdof. Keshachar nachon mutsa'o. In Judaism, it's a slow process. There's Chumash, and there's Navi, and there's Mishnah, and there's Gemara, and there's Kabbalah. Many people today, they want to have experiences. They want to try, you know, meditating or studying Kabbalah, and they haven't started the process, the slow process of building your Judaism, knowing the basics of Judaism. And you know what happens? If you go too far and too quickly, you burn yourself, you burn your eyes. That's the danger in studying Kabbalah. And speaking to people that only deal, this is a problem, you know, this is really a whole, you have to give a whole talk about this. But to go to rabbis, people that claim they're mekubalim, they claim to be Kabbalists, but they're not Tamidei Chachamim. They didn't build themselves on the basis of Judaism. You can get burned very badly because, first of all, it's probably not the true Kabbalah. And people are looking for the easy fix. You know, Rabbi, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. If I light a candle, everything's going to be okay? And you have to look internally. You have to do everything in gradations. Take your time. It's a slow process. And when you do things slowly, you exercise slowly, eventually you can become strong. And that's one of the lessons we learned from the Senate. Any questions, anyone?
Does the Senate really stand for anything else? I always felt that, like, the Senate, maybe on a Kabbalistic level, and maybe I shouldn't be asking this question, but I feel like it represents something else. Like, it wasn't...
The what?
The Senate.
The bush, the burning bush.
The bush, it says, you know, God appeared. You know, you ever go in the desert? You ever see these low bushes? That's the Senate. It was a very low, it wasn't a tree, it was a little bush. It was a desert bush. And it's interesting, God chose this little bush to appear to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Midrash says the reason is, first of all, God is showing humility. When you're lowly, then you have the Shekhinah. If you're arrogant, people become very arrogant. You know, someone just told me, they had this big lottery, 660 million, 680, whatever it was. Yeah. So someone mentioned to me, he knows someone that became a millionaire through the lottery. And he used to be, I think he was a plumber. And it was an Israeli guy telling me about this guy that he knows. And he says, you know, people wouldn't even go close to him. Sirahonchelo, he smelled so bad, people wouldn't even approach him. He won, I don't know, 10 million or something. Now he looks down on everyone, he speaks bad about everyone. Mm. It went to his head, you know. You put him next to me to sit next to me. You know who I am. Like he speaks like that. You know, that's you become very degraded when you talk like that. That's just Hashem is telling you, if you want to be a great person, like the Sineh, you have to be lowly like the Sineh. It says Sarah Imeno. It says that she lived 7 years, 20 years, and 100 years. 7 years. It says seven. It says Sheva Shanim, Be'esrim Shana. 100 shana, 20 shana, and 7 shanim. 100 years, shanim. 20 years, shanim. And 7 shana. It should be 7 shanim.
Right.
Excuse me, I said the opposite. Yeah. It's 7 shanim. It says shana by the bigger numbers. By 7, the number 7, it says a greater amount of years. So the Zohar says, this is to teach you, when you make yourself low, that's how you elevate yourself. The Torah is... You're supposed to be lowly. If you want the Torah to enter your soul, you have to be lowly. That's the bush. Another thing, the Midrash, Rashi brings on the Midrash, that says that the bush represents Imo anochi betzara. God was telling the Jewish people, I understand your pain. Look at the nevuah I'm giving you on the floor. I understand your pain. I'm with you. I feel your pain. I understand everything that's going on in Egypt. And God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm always with them. I will always be with them, and I feel their pain.
But this is Hashem, you know, like a big tzaddik. He's not going to be sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be sitting in like a nice big chair. You know, everyone treats him like...
With kavod.
With kavod. So like, wouldn't Hashem come down with like more kavod because it's Hashem?
It's a kavod. Even so, in the time of Galut, in the time of exile, Hashem minimizes his presence. He doesn't make himself as well known. What's that?
Why do we dress so nice to show? If we need to act lowly, why are we, the presence of God, he wants us to act lowly, why are we dressing in nice suit?
That's a good question. You know, there's actually,
you're not supposed to show off.
It's a
get married, then it's a different story. then you gotta wear the nicest Versace, everything. Man.
I'll tell you the halakha, there's an opinion in the Gemara that says that when you pray, you have to dress up. Because that's the kavod for the king. It's a better preparation. You wear a tie, you know.
Right.
However, you look as dignified as you can look.
Yeah.
You should. But what you're saying is a very good question because there are opinions. I think this halakha doesn't follow this anymore. But in the old days, people would specifically dress lower to make yourself more lowly. You know that you should feel humility to Hashem.
How come? Do the Egyptians have proof that Paro gave?
It's probably written somewhere. You want to hear something fascinating? This you probably never heard this before. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's name? Moshe. He had many names, Moshe. The name that we use is the name that the daughter of Paro gave him, Moshe. So the Torah says, why was he called Moshe? Ki min ha-mayim mishitihu. Because I drew him from the water. Min ha-mayim mishitihu. So mishitihu means I drew him. So the Mefarshim say, well, he should have been called Mashui. Drawn, not Moshe, which means like the drawer. Now the Ibn Ezra says, no, his name wasn't Moshe, it was Munoz. That was, because that's the Egyptian, right? That's the Munoz, that was his name, Moses. Moses, right? Now listen to this, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he did his own research in hieroglyphics. He learned every language, okay? He learned Egyptian. This is amazing. The word Moshe means water. In Egyptian.
Water?
The ancient Egyptian, that it means water. Moshe. That's why she named him water. She picked him up from the water. He has lots of interesting things about the name.
So what we always learned about being drawn from the water isn't actually...
Well, the Torah says she named him Moshe because she drew him from the water.
Yeah.
So the Torah doesn't tell you, you know, and you should just know in Egyptian, Moshe means water. That was known to the Jews at the time. Yeah, everyone understood. His name's water. He came from the water. If you look, Moshe Rabbeinu, everything's water. Everything revolves around water. Why didn't he enter Israel? Because he hit the water.
It's so funny because JC, the biggest thing is about the water.
I don't know why you're bringing JC in here. No, but it's interesting. Yeah, you want to hear something interesting. the water.
I'm from Australia, okay?
Ervata Aretz, Tumah, the Klipa. You have to bring the Kedusha. The Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, he says something interesting. He says, if, you know, we make a bracha, we say, Hagomel l'chayavim tovot shegmalani kol tov. If you were saved, right? God forbid, a person was in an accident. He has to say Hagomel, or if you traveled, you have to say Birkat Hagomel.
Only on water, right?
What's that?
Only over water.
Over water, or a desert also, where if a person was sick, was in the hospital, you say, it makes Hagomel afterwards. You ever see the bracha? It says Hagomel. What does the bracha mean? Hagomel Hayavim. You grant good to those that are Hayav, that are guilty. Hayavim Tovot. You give them good. Those that are guilty, you give them good. Why? I'm guilty. I got sick. What's wrong?
I was in an accident. You could have died.
But why Hayavim? As if I'm guilty.
If you got sick, probably you did something wrong.
So Rabbi Tzadok says, if you were saved from something, you should realize that really it should have happened to you. God was merciful to you, so you can do teshuvah. You should really know you really were hayav. Hagomel hayavim. And if you went through a place that is dangerous, It's because God wanted you to be in a place of danger because you deserve it. But God was rahman on you. He was merciful. And he gave you the ability to do teshuvah. That's what Rabbi Tzadok says. Now it says the Jews, when God split the sea, he didn't just split the sea. They had to go in the sea first. Who went first? Which tribe went into the... Okay, what tribe was he from? What's that? He was from Yehuda.
Yehuda
went in first. It says, Hayeta Yisrael. Hayeta Yehuda lekocho. Yisrael mamshelotav. Yehuda was the first tribe. They said, we're going to go. We have emunah. We'll go into the sea. We'll go into the sea. They went in first. And Nachshon ben Aminadav was the first one to go in. The Midrash says they were drowning. The water was coming up the air. Go in. Moshe said, go in. They had to have emunah. Just go in. God's going to do something. There's no place to go. The Egyptians are going to kill us. As soon as they were about to drown, then the sea opened. The Midrash says, why did the sea split? Because of Yosef. The sea saw, it says, Hayita Yehuda Yikotcho, Yisrael Mamshelotav, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. The sea saw and fled. It opened up. The Midrash says it saw the grave, the coffin of Yosef. You know, they carried Yosef. What's going on over here? Yehuda goes in first.
Was Yehuda carrying Yosef?
And Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying Yosef.
Oh, but
what's the connection between Yehuda and Yosef? So listen to this. We're talking about water over here. Yosef was stolen by his brothers. He was stolen. Now, what's the punishment if someone kidnaps someone? The Torah says what the punishment is. It's henek. It's to be strangled. Midrash says strangling is suffocating.
Suffocating.
The Gemara says that if one suffocates, it's like henek. It's like this suffocation. Yehuda was the one that threw him into the pit. It was his idea. Throw him into the pit. So therefore, all of the Jews, because they were guilty of kidnapping Yosef, the Jews had to drown in Egypt. You remember they drowned the Jews. Water. Water is chenek. Water is suffocation. They had to undergo that. But especially Yehuda, because Yehuda was responsible for throwing him into the pit. So therefore, they had to drown in the sea. And why did the sea split? Because he saw Yosef. Yosef, now that he suffocated,
right.
Now is the tikkun for selling Yosef, for kidnapping him. That's why the water split. That was the tikkun right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu, everything is also water. So we'll give a different shiur why Moshe Rabbeinu was...
Rabbi, how come Moshe didn't do a lot of things? You know, as a leader, you would be the example for thousands and thousands of people.
Why didn't he do what?
He didn't do brit. He didn't take care of, you know, his family.
Well, he had a good reason for the brit, because he was traveling. He's going to do brit milah now while I'm traveling. It's a sakana for the child. But the malach said, no, you have to do brit. He didn't disregard the mitzvah of brit. It's just that he didn't feel it was appropriate time. He should wait to do the brit.
Did he do the brit at then?
Yeah, so his wife ends up doing the brit.
Huh.
She must have been Moroccan.
They're good with knife.
With the stone. With the stone, by the time you're doing
the with the stone, yeah, exactly.
Hard way.
What do you mean he didn't take care of his family? Why didn't he take care of his family?
What's that? Now, the Mabul, the Torah says that the Kishit Darko Ala Aretz, that in the time of the Mabul, there was lots of promiscuity. Again, the punishment is henek. That's why they had to drown in the sea. And that's why the mikveh purifies you. Because it's water.
Right.
And we'll give a shiur one time. Hazak Baruch, everybody. Oh, very good. Yeah, you're right. He's a good of Noah, yeah. Did this... Oh, you go.